I want to just read one verse to you right here. This is just something on my mind tonight. It's verse, I had to look and find it. Yep. 18, verse 43 of 1 Kings. Reach on over there and pass some of them other verses. And grab verse 43 and listen to this. And said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked, and he said, there is nothing. And he said, go again 7 times. Lord, if you'll take that, multiply it and bless it to my mind and my heart. Allow your spirit to rest upon it, God, until it grows into your very word. Plant it in our minds and in our hearts and in our lives tonight. Water it with the visitation of your presence. Somebody can blossom and bloom right out of a trial that they carried into this building. Somebody can blossom and bloom right out of a hurt, of a heartache, of 100 different things that stacked against us. God, my one desire in this service tonight has not been to look, to see, or to hear. It's to be your vessel, to be a blessing to this congregation. In Jesus' name we ask it, amen. Hallelujah. I tell you, the evangelist in me comes out just every once in a while. It comes out sometimes more than what I really want it to. But my one desire when I go places is to get up behind that pulpit and to help somebody. I really do. I mean, I've had a few guys run by that caused me more trouble than they did get me out of it. And my desire is to go someplace and to be a blessing to somebody. I was in a service one night when one of the well-known preachers, well-known to me, got up behind the pulpit, and his opening remarks was, I have not come here to impress you or to bless you. Well, I'm not coming here to impress you. You can tell by the way I look, I can't do that. But I have come in here tonight to bless you. I want you to grab a hold of what I'm fixing to tell you. I'll give you my title in just a minute. Did you know that as if calling fire down out of heaven wasn't enough? Now come on, it's Wednesday night. If somebody jumped up in this service right now and commanded the heavens to breathe fire down and consume this artificial flower in front of me, I would say, that's enough. That's enough. I believe we can have revival right there on that artificial flower. But as if calling fire down out of heaven wasn't enough, now we've got a guy praying for rain. You just can't satisfy some people. I mean, when they get it hot, they want it wet. When they get it wet, they want the fire to lap it up. You just can't satisfy some people. But here we've got a guy, and I'm telling you, when God turns his bucket of honey up, and you are poured out a blessing, it just stands to reason. You want him to do it again. You want him to do it again just as quick as he possibly will. I don't think we have to have one good service a month or one good revival service a month. I don't think you just got to have one good night in a whole week's revival. I think every night it can be fire and water, rain and honey and blessings. I think it's our desire when we come through the door that determines what kind of service that we're going to have. Sometimes at the Calvary Pentecostal Tabernacle, the song service is as dry as a box of rocks. I have to kick myself in gear to yell, amen, glory be to God, and hallelujah, but I kick. Sometimes when I don't feel like preaching, I preach. Sometimes when I don't feel like playing, I play. Sometimes when I don't feel hardly like going to church, I still go to church. The whole purpose is, I think God honors us when he sees genuinely that we really want him to do something. Some people, they don't want a blessing from God. It'll change their ways. It'll change their outlook. For some of them, it'll change their job. For others, it'll change their boyfriends and their girlfriends. For others, you're looking at me. For others, it'll change. But I'm telling you, I'd rather have an old-fashioned, heaven-sweeping change of God in this service. I'd rather have that than anything that I can think of right now. Again, I tell you, this building doesn't have to be full of people, just full of God, full of desire, full of the Spirit. And you can walk out of here just as full as you want. This guy prayed for fire and he got fire. Now then, by faith, he's asking for rain on top of the mount, seeking a closer walk with God. But this time, I want you to look at his position. He was down with his face between his knees. He was fervent. He was humble. He was desperately seeking for the heavens to open up and for rain to fall. Don't everybody shout at once, but I'm going to tell you, you can't just have revival with a passing God help us. You're not going to have a move of God with just a casual glory be to God. Sometimes you got to get down and you got to get your face down and you got to get fervent. It's got to become your heartbeat, the very life. Hey, until this gospel becomes the very thing that you strive after and you seek after, you'll never know how good it is to be totally given to God. It's got to be your everything. You hear me? It's got to become your everything. But now you can say that. You pastor a church. You preach across the countryside. It's what you do for a living. You can say that. Hey, I can say that. Because before I pastored a church, preached all across the countryside, and made a living, I was still earnestly seeking after a visitation from God. It's not a pastime or a Wednesday night thing or a Sunday night thing. It's a deep down desire thing. And buddy, when you go to the house of God, go fervent. Go desiring for the very touch of God to bless you. The other night at Calvary, we were surprised. I was surprised. Takes a lot to surprise me. But I was surprised to hear one of our men come through the glass doors and walk into the sanctuary and holler. Woo! He said. When he come into the... I was down praying. It kind of caught me off guard. I'm so used to people coming into the house without praise and thanksgiving that when they really did it, it blew my mind. I'm telling you, sometimes we ought to just pull one on everybody in the house, including ourselves, and come through that door saying, I want a fire, or I want a rain, or I want a visitation, or I want the Holy Ghost, but I've got to have God. Elijah got in that very condition. And so, we had a revival one time with J.R. Alexander. You know him? Has anybody met him? J.R. This guy looks like a chipmunk grinning when he preaches. Jaws. Wish he's here. J.R. got up and he said, I want to preach about Elijah and this man. And he said, I need a volunteer. So he turned around to Danny Judd, the most unlikely runner in the house. And he said, Brother Judd, I want you to run for me 7 times. We just closed a revival a while back with Brother Carl Page. Y'all know him? White Sox. You know, every one of us guys are odd. Except me. I'm so glad I'm normal, I can't understand it. Well, I had to revive Brother Carl Page. And Brother Carl Page got up one night and he said, I want to preach about this guy and I need a runner. And he turned around and looked at Brother Danny Judd. He said, can you run for me? I hollered, yeah, he's getting good at that. I mean, he's really getting good at that. I don't necessarily need a runner. I just need somebody to listen. Elijah sent a guy. Elijah called for the answer. And the guy said, nothing. Nothing. What do you see? Nothing. I don't know if the answer was nothing all the rest of those times or not. But let's just say, for the sake of this sermon, that it was. Let's just say every time Elijah raised his head and that guy ran back up, the answer was nothing. What you didn't say, I saw nothing. The third time, nothing. The fourth time, nothing. The fifth time, nothing. The sixth time, nothing. The seventh time, don't get too discouraged with all them nothings. The seventh time, the answer came back, and it sounded something like this. It's a cloud about the size of a man's hand. This is what I'm fixing to preach to you. Are you ready? I'm fixing to preach that there is something on the other side of nothing. Oh, I like that. I better give it to you one more time. There is something on the other side of nothing. How you feel right now? I don't feel nothing. How's your spirit? You don't feel like nothing. Do you feel like shouting? I don't feel nothing. Do you feel like singing? I don't feel nothing. Well, don't get discouraged. There's something on the other side of nothing. And if you'll stay with it, it's fixing to rain. Woo-hoo! Listen, according to my calculations, don't ever get so discouraged with God that you think that He doesn't know about your dilemma. Don't ever get that way. Well, I don't know why Brother Johnson jumps up and always feels like having church, and I don't even feel like coming. Don't get discouraged with your dilemma. I couldn't understand why Brother Dave was sick all those years with a migraine headache, and I wasn't bothered with him. He couldn't understand why I was sick with nerve troubles years back, and he wasn't. We all look at each other's inabilities and our disabilities, and they all look bad. Ours always looks worse. But I'm going to tell you something right now. If you've lost your shout, you ain't lost it forever. If you've lost the glow, you ain't lost it forever. If you've lost the joy, I'm here to tell you, if you ain't feeling nothing, there is something on the other side of nothing. If you'll stay with it, prove it. I'm going to. The city was under siege. Four lepers sat outside the gate. They wasn't welcome inside. They wasn't welcome outside. Fellas, I'd like to have a report. You have nothing to say. Is that right? You have nothing to eat. Is that right? You have nothing to hope for. Is that right? Suddenly, a couple of them guys came to their death-defying own conclusion and said, "Why sit we here till we die? Hey, at least I'm going to make an effort to try to sustain a little bit of life. Don't get quiet. Pray, wife. I'm starting to feel dangerous. Hey, everybody in the house don't have to be hollered hallelujah, but you can. And everybody else in the house don't have to be saying glory be to God, but you can. All of the young people don't have to be yelling praise the Lord, but you can. Why sit we here till we die?" They got up. They made their way into the camp of the enemy. And you know what? Them starving lepers found out. They found out that there was something on the other side of nothing. And not only did it sustain them, they brought revival back to the city that didn't even want them in the first place. I got so many things running through my mind that I can't preach them to you. When you get what you need and head back to a city that doesn't want you, God will use you to send revival to your family and your friends and the church. Hey, their bellies are full. They're book shopping, and they can barely crawl through the tight places because they found something on the other side of nothing. Hey, prove it to me again. I will. Little widow, speak to me about your problem. The problem is, I've got a boy that I got to feed. The problem is, I got a little bit of oil, and then I'll have nothing. And I've got a meal barrel. And then I'll have nothing. After I make the cake, I'll have nothing. After we eat, we'll have nothing. And after a few days, we will be nothing. But when God steps on the scene, just a little bit of oil is all you have revival. Just a little bit of the faith in God. Hey, right now, in this room, some old, and I say that with respect, but some old gray-headed or no-headed saint of God can lean back in that seat and say, I can't get around like I used to. And I don't feel like I used to. I've got Arthur and all the rest of his brothers. But I remember the night when revival fell. And by the help and the grace of God, I'm not going to let a young generation go without having one more chance of a visitation. And right now, some old gray-headed saint could jump up, step out in an aisle, say, I remember how it was. All you got to have is a little oil. Just a little bit left, and God can take it and multiply it. Hey, listen, I was preaching a camp meeting that I don't even know why they asked me. You know why they asked us? We was preaching a camp meeting. I don't even know why they asked us. They really didn't like me. And my wife was under such pressure, she got sick as a mule and couldn't even make it to the first service. I got up preaching, the platform tightened down like the people whose feet were set in concrete. And I got up behind that pulpit, looked at about 400 people sitting out there in front of me, and said to myself, self, how do you get in messes, in situations like this? I preached everything I knew. I hollered as loud as I could holler. I yelled, I read the Bible, I trusted God. I even leaned on the arm of the flesh 3 or 4 times. Had nothing in the house could do one thing about that service. Dead as a hammer, dyed in the wool, crucified, fried, and all the rest of those greasy terms. And all of a sudden in the back of the house, some little old grandma that was shriveled up and twice plucked up from the grave, jumped up, jumped out in the aisle, ran down that aisle, ran across the front of the church. The Spirit of God broke out, hit at 3:15 that morning. We left the tabernacle. I'm telling you, when there's nothing, if God can just find a little, He can send revival, and He can do it through grandma. Oh, Brother Height, we've got to have young folks. Yes, we do. Oh, Brother Height, we've got to have the young married folks. Yes, we do. But listen, that old Brother Height that's about to turn 50. I know I don't look at 50. But look at old Brother Height. That's still spiffy at almost 50. I'm going to tell you something. The old timers can come waltzing out of them pews with the power of God running up and down their back till the Spirit of God starts radiating out of their very lives. And young folks and everybody else say, I'd like to have a little of that. And you know what happened in this story? It saved the mama, and it saved the boy, and it saved the preacher. That sounds like revival to me. Hallelujah! There is something on the other side of nothing. Yeah. Calvary, Pentecostal Tabernacle. Ever heard of it? 41 forlorn people. When the Lord dealt with me in Phoenix, Arizona, about that church. It's amazing. Never held a revival there. Preached around in the area. Couldn't tell you 5 people that went to that church. Only knew of a couple. Sunday morning, I'm in the living room of an Assembly of God pastors, parsonage. My wife comes down the hall. She looks at me and says, "What are you doing, honey?" And I said, "Something has happened at the Calvary Pentecostal Tabernacle back in West Plains, Missouri." And she said, "Where?" "Yeah, but you've heard of it, haven't you? It's right next to the Mormon little old church there in West Plains." She said, "What are you going to do?" And I said, "I don't know." I said, "I guess I'll call Mike Blue, my buddy. Ask him what's going on." That's exactly what I did. Mike said, "Oh, I guess you've heard." And I said, "Mike, the only thing that I've heard was God this morning breathe the Calvary Pentecostal Tabernacle in my heart." He said, "You don't know anything about anything. You don't know anything about what? You know nothing." And I said, "I know nothing." And he said, "Well, I'm not going to tell you nothing." So we got somebody that doesn't know nothing, and somebody won't tell them nothing. But there's something on the other side of nothing. You hear me? I don't need to tell you the rest of the story, because I've been there now longer than any pastor ever has. The trick to that is live long enough to bury them. I've stayed longer than any of them. You hear me? The trick to that story is yell louder than they can yell, and shoot straighter, and do it quicker. Oh, but brother, sister, I'm going to tell you right here, right now, we ain't the biggest church in holiness, and we don't always have the greatest services, but there was something on the other side of nothing, and the door is still open, and yours is too. You know, I shouldn't be the only guy in this house feeling as good as I'm feeling right now, because that makes me feel dangerous. Hallelujah. That makes me feel like I need to be running and hollering and yelling and jumping and shouting all at the same time. And I can't, because you want to hear me preach. Hey, something on the other side of nothing that says, I don't care what you heard or what you felt or how long it's been, there's a God that has not run out of oil. Something on the other side of nothing. What do you do? Let me just take a quick survey here. Just a quick survey here. What do you do? What you do here in this church? Everybody that does nothing in this church, raise your hand. You feel it? Good kid right there. Right there. I heard the drummer. Listen, I'm telling you something. Is there anybody in this room that feels like, I don't do nothing? I don't teach a class, and I ain't in the choir, and I don't do nothing. I ain't the sweeper, and I ain't the keeper, and I don't change the light bulbs, and I don't do nothing. What are you doing in this church? Nothing. Well, there is something on the other side of nothing, if you'd like to have it. I'm telling you, all of a sudden, at Wyandotte Tabernacle, somebody that ain't always up front started getting up. Somebody that wasn't always a singer started singing. Somebody that wasn't called to preach got the call on their life. There's something on the other side of nothing, and he's just looking for somebody in this house right now to bless.
Amen. That's good. That's good.
After 27 years in the ministry, it's not too hard to convince folks that I'm called to preach. But with asthma, and too weak to pick up a saxophone, and too sick to blow it, It's hard to convince folks that you're called to preach. But there's something on the other side of nothing. When your parents are convinced that you are to get your 4-year college education and you're struggling through with your second year, you hate everything that relates to math, numbers, anything. You don't even like to get gas because they use numbers on the dial. Anything that has anything to do with numbers, you hate it. Here I am in this college studying English, going to be an English teacher, going to be an English major, and all of a sudden, you get sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, delivered in an old-fashioned tabernacle meeting, down on an old floor, in front of an old step on a night that they didn't even have any preaching. And you come up from there saying, I feel like God's called me to preach. Man, you ain't got nothing. You ain't a thinking nothing. And you'll never amount to nothing. And I got news for you. No! As far as they're concerned, I still may not have arrived. But there is something on the other side of nothing. Oh, I'm just thinking about so many things that I could tell you about this, but I'm not going to. I'm just going to tell you, you don't have to be a board member in this house to have revival. You don't have to be married to a preacher. You don't have to be sitting up front. You don't have to be sitting in the back. You just got to be somebody sitting in this house right now that says, I'm tired of feeling nothing. I'm tired of going to church and feeling nothing. I'm tired of going to revival and feel nothing. I'm tired of hearing people say, that's good preaching, Brother Johnston, and not have any idea what they're talking about. I'm tired of hearing people tell me, boy, you shouldn't have missed last Wednesday night, because for the last 20 Wednesday nights, you felt nothing. I've come a long way in a busy schedule and left my church down in South Missouri tonight to tell you, when you walked into this room tonight, you walked into a place that God is already forming a cloud about the size of a man's hand. And if you'd like for him to, he'll fill the barrel. He'll fill the heart. You could be filled to overflowing. There's something on the other side of nothing. Daniel.
Yes.
Where's you looking, buddy? I was looking out this window toward Jerusalem. What do you see? Well, to tell you the truth, I don't see nothing. I mean, down here's Babylon. Down here's pagan temples. Down here's the king that hates me. Over here is the harps hanging in the willow trees in Babylon. But that's all I can see. Aside from that, I don't see nothing. Daniel, you mean you can't see Jerusalem's gates? Not this far. I don't see nothing. You can't see Solomon's temple? I can't see nothing. You can't see the land of David? I can't see nothing. But by the power and the grace of God, God proved it again in a lion's den that there is something on the other side of nothing. And if the devil is circling your house, your home, your life, God's a fixing to fix that tonight. Well, you see, in your medicine cabinet, I don't see nothing but Prozac. What you see in the pill bottle by your nightstand, I don't see anything but Zoloft. What do you see there in your purse, wrapped tightly in the pharmaceutical bottle? I don't see anything but Ativan. I don't see anything. I don't see nothing but these little things that I'm living on. But there is something on the other side of nothing. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I didn't want to tell you about it, but I'm going to do it. Really, a fella like me ought not have nerve trouble. He really shouldn't. Everything going for him, like a beautiful wife and a beautiful saxophone we'll have to go to stage two after that. But a fella like me ought not have nerve trouble. But I had it. Nights evangelizing in Oklahoma. My wife would get up in the middle of the night, have to come looking for me. When she'd find me outside in the ice and the snow, walking around with no coat on, she'd lead me back in the trailer. I heard her one night go into L.D. Moore's church office. I heard her call my dad. I heard her say, "Pete, there's something bad wrong. We're going to start coming toward Illinois. If we're not there in a day and a half, come looking for us. We're having troubles. The devil is attacking my husband." I don't need to tell you all about all the rest of the things that transpired, because the truth of the matter is, I should have been able to handle it better. A lot of church pressures, everybody wanting the greatest revival in their life, everybody thinking you ought to be the dynamite of the hour. I put too much pressure on me, too much pressure on my wife, and just one day, it just all came kaput. Absolutely. And it sent me home. The churches in Alabama rallied. Brother Neil Bridges got up and got pledges across the holiness people. They started sending offerings to Illinois. Little church in Indiana paid my truck payment. Little church in Alabama paid my trailer payment. My wife prayed daily for the money to come into the mailbox. She couldn't tell me anything about it. I couldn't talk to her anything about it, because I was the spiritual giant who was down at the bottom of the barrel. I couldn't feel nothing. I didn't want to see nothing. I didn't want no visitors. I didn't want to get out of the house. I didn't want to see mom. I didn't want to see dad. I didn't want to see no preacher. I don't want to talk on the telephone. Let me be miserable by myself. She prayed, carried that burden, carried that load. I carried a flashlight. I thought of it today when he went and got me one in that back room of that bookstore, looking at books. I looked down one time at that silly flashlight, and I remembered this. I slept with one. In the night, things would crawl up the bottom of the bed, crawl underneath the covers, grab my feet, and start up my legs. I'd have to sit up in bed, and my wife would say, "What's the matter, honey?" And I'd say, "Them things. It's them things." And she went to rebuking them. I had to have a flashlight. I couldn't stand for the light. I was Duracell's best customer. I couldn't stand for the lights to go out. I'd lay there in that bed, and I'd feel them things start up that bed. And I'd start, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want anything to make me lie down. He leads me beside the waters. I would run down. I got so good with the Lord's Prayer that you thought I'd need an interpreter by the time I could get done with it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want anything to make me lie down." And I'm telling you, I had to cancel Randy Webb's revival. Nothing. I had to cancel the Stricklers. Nothing. I had to cancel Benny Sutherland. Nothing. I had to cancel Donnie Williamson. Nothing. I had to start canceling. You hear me? And one night, I don't want everybody to have a heart attack here, but one night, I was laying in bed, and I felt them things come up that bed again. And I turned my flashlight on, and I looked up at the ceiling, and I changed verses. I heard myself, instead of saying, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, he maketh me," I heard myself saying, "When I am overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that's higher than I." And I sat straight up in the bed, and my wife looked over and said, "What's the matter, honey?" And for the first time, I could say, "Nothing. nothing is the matter. Them crawly things ain't here. They're not here. And you know what I found out? That there's something on the other side of nothing. If there hadn't have been, I wouldn't be in this room right now preaching this revival. If it wasn't true, I wouldn't be at the Calvary Pentecostal Tabernacle. Hey, I'm just trying to tell somebody in this house that came to church, you didn't feel like singing, you didn't feel like praying, you didn't even feel like coming, but you did anyway. There is something on the other side of nothing.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.
Don't talk to me about being bad luck in the church when you raise an umbrella. I don't want to hear it. You black magic believing outfit, you, I don't want to hear it. I'm telling you, if I could find one, I'd walk under a ladder right now. Hallelujah. I just don't make nothing like they used to anymore. Oh, there was something on the other side of nothing. I saw it. What in the world? Why in the world would you? Well, I just thought it would be in order to break out this little umbrella on this little Wednesday night service. Just to let you know that there's at least one person in this room that feels like it's going to rain. Somebody in this room that just has that uncontrollable feeling that after 7 or 8 times running back and forth saying it ain't going to, we're bound to have one night that it does. There's something inside me that says, after trying and feeling and praying, one of these nights it's bound to happen. Why can't it be right now? Why can't it be right here tonight?
Glory to God. Do it, Lord. Do it, God. Hallelujah.
But, my brother Hyde, I just tell you, I've been waiting on Sister Hyde to jump up and go to the piano. And, Brother Dave, just help me scoot that out of the way. Somebody may need to pray in this altar and get right with God, but it seems like to me most everybody in here just needs to get wet. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, why don't you how come you never give a standard altar call? It's because I never even give a standard sermon. Hey, man, just go with the flow. I'm trying to tell you something. Right now in this house, is there anybody in this room that believes it can rain on you if you just come up here, throw your hands straight up to God, and look for something on the other side of nothing? You haven't been reading your Bible? Something on the other side of nothing. You haven't felt like praying at the house? Something on the other side of nothing. You'd like to see revival in your church? Something on the other side of nothing. Wouldn't it be something in this service if somebody got rained on tonight and got over their nerve trouble? Somebody got rained on tonight and got the baptism of the Holy Ghost! Hallelujah! Something on the other side. Something on the other side of nothing. Something on the other side of nothing. Something on the other side of nothing. Something on the other. Well, brother, I'm afraid if I step out, folks will think I got a problem. I'm going to think you got one if you don't. Hey, if you want to have a good revival in your church, there's something in here. If you want to have revival at your house, there's something in here. If you want to sing better and teach better and live better, there is something in here.
Windows of heaven are open.
Now, God's blessings
are falling tonight. There's joy, joy, joy in my heart.
Jesus makes everything right. Woo!
I gave
him my own tattered garment.
He gave
me a
Lord, but you are.
Say it, honey.
I'm speaking on that aside.
Say it, honey. Hallelujah.
That's why I'm happy.
Hallelujah. The window.
All the windows in heaven are open. God's blessings are falling tonight. There's joy, joy.
Joy. Joy in my heart. Thank you, Jesus.
You made everything right. I gave you my old tattered garment. He gave me a robe of pure white.
I feasted.
I feasted. From heaven.
Somebody
and
tell the devil
happy.
It's Wednesday night and we're feeling God.
Heaven are
somebody
open.
Tell the devil
God's
it's Wednesday night
tonight.
And it's raining. And wine got tabernacle. Somebody tell the devil, I'm feeling the Spirit of the Lord. Woo! Hallelujah.
He gave me a robe of your wine. I'm feasting on manna from heaven. And that's why I'm happy tonight. It's raining, it's raining, it's raining once again. The Spirit of the Lord is moving like a mighty rushing wind. The Holy Ghost is higher, falling out of His. Giving us the power to bring the harvest in. It's raining, it's raining once again.
It's Wednesday night.
Spirit of the Lord is
moving. Brother Dave, Sister Anna Johnson. We're at Wyandotte Tabernacle again. Woo! The only thing different about now and the last time I was here is there's a few years
old.
Same God, same the Holy Ghost, same revival. Same shouting. We still rejoice and say hallelujah. And when it rains, it still rains on all of us. Hallelujah.
Oh, it's raining, it's raining, it's raining once again. The Spirit of the Lord is moving like a mighty rushing wind. The Holy Ghost's power is falling on all men, giving them the power to bring the harvest in.
It's raining once again.
The Holy Ghost. The Lord is moving.
Hallelujah.
Like a rushing wind.
If it's been a little while since you just felt like hollering hallelujah, you got my permission to holler. If it's been a little while since you felt like just waving your hand, you got my permission. Hey, Ahab's been defeated. The prophets of Baal intend to take a back seat. The next thing you feel is the reign of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Oh, it's raining, it's raining, it's raining once again. The Spirit of the Lord is moving like a mighty rushing wind. The Holy Ghost and fire is falling on all men, giving them the power to bring the harvest in. Prophet said in the last day that it would be like this. He'd pour out His Spirit and none He would miss.
Right.
Your young men would see visions.
Your old men
would dream dreams.
It's raining, it's raining. Glory be to God. Let our children see the genuine Pentecost of grandma and grandpa. Let the young married couples feel the genuine Pentecost of the upper room. Let grandma and grandpa feel the genuine Pentecost of yesterday. Give us a fresh rain, a fresh visitation. Do something for everybody in this room that would like to walk out this church tonight different than they came through the door. Hallelujah! Something!
other side.